For those of you who are new, just know we are far from a perfect church. We do not have this thing fully figured out. We're thrilled that you're here. We say often, we're not for everybody, but we are for somebody. And we certainly pray that somebody is you. But just know, if you walk away from Northview and like, oh man, that was terrible. The preaching was garbage. The music was too loud. All the things. That's okay. We live in a community where you can chuck a rock and hit a good church. And anyone thankful for the other churches in our community? Come on, let's celebrate what God's doing in the team at large. And so I would just encourage you, if it's not Northview, we're not offended. We would just love for you to find yourself rooted in a church where you can discover all that God seeks to do in and through your life. But we're thrilled that you gave your weekend to join us. And if you're not a Christian, my goodness, we're always thrilled that you're with us. We are in a study through the book of Romans, 38 weeks, we laid it out, and we come to Romans chapter 15, right in the middle of the chapter today. So if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. And I will say on the front end, I got two things working against me. One, I've got a little bit of a head cold, sinus thing. Anyone else, you woke up with that junk? And so if I seem a little tipsy up here, it's the Robitussin speaking, and I'd ask for your grace in that. But also, this past week, Kristen and I, along with 87 individuals from Northview, got to go on a Bible expedition through Turkey, visiting the seven churches of the book of Revelation, as well as walking some of the footsteps of Paul. And I got a photo of the team. Folks, this is the squad. Every single one of our campuses but one was represented in this group, and a full disclosure, I had probably not met 80% of these individuals until this trip. And again, it's another reason why we often say, hey, get plugged in, join a group, join an initiative, participate, because what you will discover is what makes our church special is certainly not anyone who stands on a platform. It is the people seated next to you. And this group here was such a blessing to be with and had an absolute blast. And I will tell you, whenever you participate in something like this, it does change your church experience. That when you show up the following weekend, suddenly you've got some relational equity and some memories and moments that you share with people. And so shout out to everyone who is on that team. But I am a little jet lagged. Anyone ever had jet lag? And I do feel that a little bit, but we are going to make our way through this. And I'll just tell you, full disclosure, I don't think this is a good sermon. Just know this. I don't know. This is my third take on it. Be thankful that you showed up at the 11. I just don't think I've done it well. And so I'm really hoping this one goes a little better. And some of it is there's just too much to cover. And I think it's all good things, but it's kind of like a Thanksgiving meal where you just eat more than you should. And then afterwards, you go into that food coma. I feel like the last two groups have walked away like, whoa, okay. So hopefully I will serve you better today. But no, this is probably going to be a 4 out of 10. But here we go. Let's go to the passage. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. He says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. He says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty, that's a big idea, of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. And this is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. And so here Paul, again, he's writing this letter to a church where? In Rome. under the dominion of the Roman Empire, which was just corrupt and evil and wicked. Nero was on the throne. He was an absolute maniac. The church was facing pressure and persecution, and there were all kinds of things coming against the church. And Paul is writing this letter. He has now shifted verses or chapters 1 through 11 are high on doctrine, explaining theology and what it is that we believe. And then chapter 12 through 16, he shifts and he begins talking about the marks of maturity. Essentially, he's saying, if you truly receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you have really been impacted by the gospel and live daily understanding the triumph of the cross, well, these are the natural byproducts that will come out of your life. And he is in this stage where he is rounding the corner on his letter, and he is letting them know where he's at, what he's about to do next, and some things that he wants to encourage them on. And he writes a church that is aware of wickedness, aware of evil and darkness. And he says, just so you know, I am writing you to testify that I have been making my way through a region from Jerusalem to Illyricum and everywhere in between, sharing the gospel. And I was called to reach the Gentiles, which if you've not been a part of this study, the Gentiles are individuals of non-Jewish descent. So wave at me if you're a person of non-Jewish descent. This is a big deal. Anytime you see the statement Gentiles in scripture, you ought to be encouraged, because it is Paul saying, because of what Christ did on the cross, he swung wide open the door for anyone and everyone to come into the saving knowledge and receive salvation through Christ and be adopted into the family of God. That for the longest time, God's redemptive plan, you have to start somewhere. So he raises up a couple, that raises up a family, that then becomes a tribe and then becomes a nation. And that nation is the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And they were the people of God. And Paul says that at the other side of the cross, the gospel was made available to the entire world. And Paul says, I was called to go and reach people who never heard of Christ, to walk into wicked and evil spaces and to share the gospel where there was zero foundation. And I will say, if I hadn't just gone on a trip, those statements probably wouldn't carry the weight that they're currently carrying in my heart this weekend. I just was not aware when I went to Israel, and there'll be opportunities for you to do the same at some point. The Israel trip it's much more sentimental. You get to stand in places where Jesus stood, experience certain things, and it comes with this swell of emotion and sentiment of like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. The Revelation tour is less sentiment and more challenge. You can't help but walk through it and feel this prompting to be more courageous yourself, because what you discover as you go from region to region all throughout these different towns and cities is every place was marked with evil and wickedness. It was marked with pagan worship and idolatry and all these temples erected for false gods. And that's the region that Paul took the gospel into. That's the region that John himself would eventually write letters to. We got to stand in places where the disciple Philip was executed and crucified upside down. And tradition says that even while hanging upside down, he continued to preach the gospel until his last breath. We got to stand in the space where Paul was chased off and beat by the mob. And we also got to stand in the place where John, the disciple who wrote Revelation along with the gospel John, was even buried. And you look at what they did, and you cannot help but think, oh my goodness, these were renegades for Christ. Individuals who are so confident in God's goodness, so confident in the power of the gospel and its ability to radically redeem, radically change, and to shine a light in the darkest of spaces. And Paul is writing to the church in Rome facing its own darkness, and he's saying, everywhere I've gone, it doesn't matter that there wasn't a foundation. It doesn't matter that they'd never heard of Christ. It doesn't matter that they weren't raised in a tradition. The gospel was fruitful and it was effective, and people are coming to the saving knowledge of Christ in places that you would not expect. And why is that important? Because here's what happens. We become Christians, and if you're not careful, you will develop some spiritual superiority complex where you think the gospel gives you license to look down on folks. Folks, that's a miss. The gospel doesn't gas us up with arrogance. We do not get the right to look down on people. We have the opportunity to look out for people. And there will always be a temptation. Chances are you can relate to this. Where you look at society and the world that we live in, we all can think of those kind of people, groups and individuals who live in such contradiction to God's desire and God's design and his values and his ways. And you can start to think to yourself, well, that's a lost cause. They're too far gone, and there's no way with all that brokenness and all that evil and the fact that they take pride in living contradicting lives to the will of God, you look at a situation and think, no way God can work in those type of spaces. And Paul is writing the Roman church saying, that could not be further from the truth. That the gospel of Jesus Christ will forever be a powerful message, even when it's not a popular message. And there will always be broken, depraved souls that will recognize their need for a relationship with their maker. And there will always be a need for courageous brothers and sisters in Christ to get outside their comfort zone, to swell up with some confidence in God and some courage to go after the mission before them, to share the gospel with people who've never heard of Christ. And Paul says, don't ever look at a situation, look at an individual or a group of people and think, there's no way God can work in that situation. Folks, as long as there is breath in your lungs and you're not dead, God's not done, there is still an opportunity for redemption to take place in anyone's life. So for the non-Christian showing up, you're scoffing in your mind thinking, yeah, but you have no idea what I've done. You're right, but he does. And the one who knows you the best loves you the most, and your sin is no match for God's grace. It's just no match. And so Paul is writing this letter to a church facing pressure and odds. And there will never be a church on this side of heaven within a fallen world that doesn't face pressure and odds. And Paul says, don't you for a second start assuming that the gospel loses its effectiveness the more evil and wicked the world becomes. No, whenever people proclaim the gospel and live lives of obedience, God does things in their life they can't take credit for. And that's what Paul's saying. He's like, I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to humble brag. I am only here to testify about what Christ has done in me and through me. And I love that song we're singing this weekend. Your goodness is running after me. That's actually an honoring statement to the old school theologians throughout history who would often refer to God as the hound of heaven. This idea that no matter where you go, God is in pursuit of you daily. And he's a gentleman. He doesn't work by invasion. He only works by invitation. So he's not going to pry his way into your life, but he will stand ready and available with such intimate proximity to your life that the moment you turn, you discover a God who's ready and willing to be there with you, that he has been running after you. And Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message version of the Bible, it's a paraphrase that kind of puts the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can reach. He has this statement where he says, faith is a long obedience in the same direction. Despite the momentum, sometimes you're soaring, sometimes you're sprinting, sometimes you're strolling. God is not concerned with the speed of your growth. He is concerned with the strength of your growth. And it's putting one foot in front of the other every single day, living a life for Christ that you realize, no matter where I go, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not because we're that impressive, but because God is that good, amen? And so this is his driving point. He's saying, take heart, church. And there will always be a need for that type of message to remind the believers in the community of faith, take heart. The gospel is still the greatest news and the greatest story ever told, and it still is transforming lives. And Paul does a few things here. He gives some affirmations, and then he lays out some strategic plans. And I think today it would be fitting as well for us to do the same. And there's three things that he says that I think he says, I am convinced, one, that you are full of goodness. Now, I'm biased towards Northview, so you can take this for what it is. But I am convinced our church is full of goodness. We've been here now for 4 years. Our family moved here from Minnesota. And over the last 4 years, stepping into this position, the one thing that I've enjoyed the most is getting to not just kick the tires, but to live under the hood of our church, to understand all the different programming and ministries and individuals and leaders that continue to march forward our different efforts. And there's no question you walk away thinking, oh my goodness, our church is full of goodness. Now, what is Paul saying when he writes to this church saying, you're full of goodness? Or how was Paul even evaluating them? How should we evaluate ourselves? How can we live with the same confidence that Paul says, I am convinced? How can you and I be convinced that a church is full of goodness? And what Paul is referring to is the Christ-like virtues and attributes that are on full display within the church in Rome. If you remember chapter 1, we began where Paul writes in his salutation that, hey, your faith is being reported all throughout the world. That rumors were spreading about the church in Rome, and despite being on Nero's doorstep, they were thriving. And they were honoring God, and they were living as a reflection of Christ in a world that resisted the idea. And Paul is, in this moment, affirming the Christ-like virtues. That you might be able to manufacture some form of self-righteousness on your own for a season, but at the end of the day, it takes the Holy Spirit working in your life to do this for the long haul. And at some point, what Christ does and the life we're called to live is something you can't fake, something you can't manufacture on your own. It is only by God's grace that you and I are redeemed and empowered to live lives beyond ourselves and to walk out our former ways of living. And Paul is saying there's virtues on display. Well, what are those Christ-like virtues? It's things like service. It's things like grace, that does this community forgive well? Are they practicing the ministry of reconciliation? That folks, the church will always be most attractive when grace is most apparent. And how well does this church lean into broken, messy situations? Because here's the thing, the moment you and I start pretending that we have it all together and there's no one in here with faults and everybody's perfect and innocent, well, every single one of us begins to shudder under the mask that we're forced to put on. Church ought to be the most honest place on the planet where we get to show up as we are, bringing our triumphs as well as our failures into a space like this. And it is the body of Christ functioning as Jesus with some skin on that we get to extend grace and hope and encouragement and edify other people. Those are virtues that should be found in the local church. Service being one of them, people who are sacrificial with their time and their talent, generosity being one of them. Which just know this, Christianity, if anything, is a movement of generosity. What is the cornerstone verse of our faith? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. None of this is possible without giving. And just know, if you're new to Northview, we don't have some business model that scales some product and trends with the markets. No, our church exists and our church functions and our church is able to operate with boldness towards mission and vision because people seated among you on their own initiative and motivation just choose to voluntarily give generously to fund what God is doing here. And there will always be those moments where you will look and think, well, you can't fake that. You can't pretend. There are moments and attributes of goodness that are on full display. And I think a church is, in many ways, a lot like a weight room. If you think in terms of athletics, the baseball player, the football player, the golfer, and the basketball player, they all use the same weight room. They show up and they work out in a space to develop strength, also that they can then step into their arenas and be successful and effective. The same is true with the local church, that we show up and we practice Christ-like virtue and behaviors in a space like this, in a form of training and, you know, readiness, also that we can go out into the world and live as a reflection of Christ. And here's the thing, if you don't live like Christ in the church, you're certainly not gonna live like Christ in culture. It's easy to be a church, a Christian in church. It takes a lot more effort. And what happens is a church that doesn't emphasize Christ-like virtue and behaviors and functions and practices those things will have some muscle atrophy and be unprepared for the arenas and spaces they step into out in the world. And so he's saying, you're full of goodness. He goes on to say, you are filled with knowledge. How do you evaluate whether a church is filled with knowledge? And one real simple way is to consider, is this church rooted in timeless truth, or is it rooted in trendy ideology? Which, what's the statement that we use? He who marries the spirit of the age will eventually become a widow. All this vogue ideas out there, they have a shelf life, but there is a timelessness and a relevancy and a substance to the truth of the gospel that fortifies our life despite the changings of our times. And the question that you ought to ask is your life being transformed to fit God's word, or is God's word being transformed to fit your life? Is God's word shaping your worldview, or is your worldview shaping your opinions of God's word? And Paul's saying, no, you can always tell a church that is studious and responsible in their approach to faith, that they have critical thinkers and people who really understand the importance of knowing what they believe, why they believe it, and applying it appropriately. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is wisdom applied, right? Like, knowledge is knowing a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in the fruit salad, right? And you can always tell a church that's rooted in God's word, living as a reflection of Christ within the world. And lastly, I love this. He says, and you are competent to instruct one another. See, here's the myth. Christianity has always been a preaching movement. Jesus shows up on the scene, and one of the very first statements is he went throughout the region preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is near. It's always been a preaching movement. Here's the downside to that. It almost becomes a one-man show for a lot of people, as if the purpose of all of this is for you to show up and be entertained and lived off of this one conversation a week. No, this is kind of the pep rally. This is the huddle. This is where we come together, open God's word, and discern collectively how do we live this out in our community. But at the end of the day, the goal shouldn't just be one person doing all the teaching. No, what makes the church so beneficial is when iron sharpens iron and individuals truly participate in biblical community, linking arms with one another and edifying each other's lives. And that, again, folks, one of the things that our community is so blessed with is rock solid individuals, godly men and women who are seasoned in their faith, full of substance, and able to instruct the other believers in this church. And you can go all throughout Northview, things that I can't take an ounce of credit for, things that have existed long before I ever showed up. I think of the discipleship walk, which wave at me of all of our campuses if you've been on the discipleship walk. Look at all these hands. These are individuals who went on a spiritually intensive retreat. And I promise you, if you were to say, all right, I'm gonna sign up, which right now I know the men's group is almost full. There's 15 spots left for this upcoming men's group that's going on the discipleship walk. We do a men's walk, we do a woman's walk, we do walk for the teenagers. And I promise you, it will serve as a catalyst in your faith that it will bring you closer into an awareness of God's intention and desire for your life, and it will bond you to other people within your church, that it will change your experience moving forward here at Northview. I think of the walk. I think of all the different groups that we have, from growth seekers to soap groups to life groups to Valor to That Girl. There's so much taking place where the individuals in this community are competent to instruct one another. That's a wonderful thing, but it does require two things. If we're gonna be a community competent to instruct one another, it requires credibility and it requires humility. It requires people who truly take their faith serious, who don't talk in talking points, but can actually reason well in dialogue with other people about what they believe in the doctrine of the gospel. It takes some credibility, but it also takes some humility. It takes the ability to say, I don't know everything, and I don't have a full perspective on the matter, and maybe I would benefit greatly by giving someone else a seat in my life to speak into my life. A church that is competent to instruct one another is a church that has credibility and humility at play. Now, personally, like Paul, he says, I'm convinced these three things are true of the Roman church. Personally, take it for what it's worth, I do believe these things are true of our church. And I just would commend all of you who call this place home, who contribute greatly to that being a reality. But what does Paul say? He says, I have written you quite pointedly to remind you of certain things. That a lot of times what we need as believers is not new information. We need to be reminded of timeless truths. We all have this tendency to develop spiritual amnesia, to get distracted or to forget the main thing being the main thing. And I think the other reason why you need to be reminded, or we need to be reminded, is Paul knew, and we're all aware, that there are always new people coming into the church. Always new people who are joining us who are not saturated in the 45-year history of our church, who don't know the traditions, who haven't been a part of all the different teachings and programs, and there needs to be an opportunity to once more put in front of them. Because here's the thing, if you don't keep in front of the church the things that truly make a church effective and healthy, eventually it'll run its course and the church will be in a predicament. Here would be an example, and I'm gonna throw myself under the bus because I'm a millennial. If you are under the age of 45, at some point, those of us who fall into that category had better wake up, because our church, the standard of our church, the class of our church, the substance and the stature of our church is shouldered by the 45 and older crowd in our community. And at some point, if a church does not have an emerging generation that says, hey, in the same way they took the baton when it was their turn to run, it's our turn to be standard bearers. It's our turn to lead the way in service. It's our turn to lead the way in radical generosity. It's our turn to practice what we preach. And all the seasoned saints are clapping. All the young people are like, dear God, he just called me out. That's something that we always have to keep in front of us. What makes a church special? It's not the preaching. It's the people committed to live like Jesus. And Paul says, but know this, I have finished my journey. I've been hindered from coming to you, but I have not lost sight of the goal, and I'm pushing forward and I am making my way to Rome. And he tells him his plan to come to Rome and eventually make his way to Spain. And I thought, you know what? It's our 45-year anniversary. Paul does it in the letter. He takes a moment to say, church, here's the plan. And I thought, all right, let's keep in front of our church the plan and the things that we are marching towards as a community as we continue on into this next chapter. And if you remember, you've been around Vision Night. Some of this will be a recap. But again, as a goal, I think where there is clarity, there is unity. And I do think it's beneficial for us to celebrate and just pay attention to all that God is doing and the things we're trying to stack hands on as a church. One, you will know that we have been talking a lot about biblical literacy. We're changing some of our teaching calendar and some of that philosophy. We are putting a great deal of emphasis into discipleship content, building out the app so you can take edifying, faith-filled content with you wherever you go on your device. But in addition to that, we are launching Bible expeditions. Like I said, I just came off of one. We have more. This is the trip that Pastor Steve and Sandy are leading in April. Similar to the trip we just went on, the Revelation tour, we made our way through the region by land. Pastor Steve and Sandy, their group will be making their way by sea. So it's a cruise. And again, you owe it to yourself. This is not a vacation. It's also not a missions trip. What it is your opportunity to study abroad so you can discover this is not some urban legend. This is not some fairy tale. What you believe is rock solid and historically verified. And when you step out into the pages of scripture where you stand, where the Bible took place, you begin to realize, I should operate with more confidence. I should stop being pushed and influenced by such weak arguments when what I believe has stood the test of time for all these years. One thing I was pointing out to our group out there was when you go through Turkey, over 90% of the country is Muslim. And when you compare the historical data of Christianity to any other major world religion, Islam included, folks, it's not even close. It's not a conversation. That what you find with Christianity is, you know, there are things that have been documented, written, restored, and preserved all these years that precede the Islamic faith by hundreds and thousands of years. In fact, one way to even think about it is the New Testament was universally accepted and canonized over, you know, 300 years before Muhammad was born and the Quran was ever written. And so when you start to realize how much further ahead in time our faith is rooted, it does esteem your faith. So the Bible expeditions are things that we want you to consider. We're adding a Reformation tour. Many people are curious about our relationship as Protestants with Catholics and how that schism took place. We will make our way through Europe on that tour so you can understand where we should appreciate the Catholic Church and them shouldering the tradition all those years, and where we as Protestants differ on some things with our Catholic brothers and sisters. And so there's the Reformation tour. We will begin planning an Exodus tour. If you're familiar with scripture, Moses and the Israelites, they marched their way out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Again, a tour that when you walk it out, you start to realize God was working so far in advance. And then whenever things calm down in Israel, everyone keeps asking, hey, when are we going back to Israel? We do have a trip penciled in for the fall of 2026, but we have not officially formalized that, hoping those people can get their acts together so the rest of us can participate in that. So we will keep you up to date with that. In addition to that, we are placing the Noblesville campus as a high priority. We do believe strategically as a church, the Noblesville campus is critical moving forward for our church. Noblesville being the county seat within Hamilton County and situated off of both 37 and 69, we do believe it creates another central hub for our church to continue reaching our region to the best of our ability. And with that, as you know, we have talked about, we are changing our model. A big conviction for me is anytime you have a church where the building and property is only used 1 or 2 days out of the week, and how do we better leverage what God has entrusted us with, also that we can add value to our communities and reach the next generation. And so we will be offering sports ministries through that facility. It will be a field house that functions as a worship space as well on the weekend. So that's a big one. And then with this plan came the new addition of our sports facility in Fisher, which again, isn't something we were looking for. It was just something God decided to do on behalf of our church, which anyone thankful for the times that God just shows off. And so this is our new sports facility. You'll notice right now, It is exclusive to basketball. And in the season, one of the things that we're working to do is we do have to have the floor resurfaced. You will recognize some different branding on the floor. And for legal reasons, we do have to remove that from the floor. What that's gonna allow us to do though is while we have to do that, we are going to restripe the facility. So it will not just be for basketball. We will be adding volleyball into that space as well as pickleball, offering those different teams and opportunities in that new facility. Also, God blessed us in this season with the Union Chapel right off of Keystone over there by the Fashion Mall and Ironworks, which I'm still amazed that this is now our facility. And this is functioning as the center for leadership for here at Northview for two primary reasons. One, when we moved here from Minnesota, I came out of a denomination, which I'm still to this day very grateful for. And with that came so many relationships and community. And parachuting into Indiana, one of the things I just felt was the lack of relationship with other churches, which know this, if you are from another church, maybe you're showing up because you didn't like your last church, just know this, we don't wanna hear your criticism. I'm sure your last church wasn't perfect. Your new church isn't perfect. We celebrate every church that's advancing the cause of Christ, and we are so thankful for their work in the community. But we did start the Northview Network, where every single month we have gatherings with ministry leaders, now from a multi-state region. And folks, this is amazing. We are currently, we just eclipsed over 250 churches are now a part of the Northview Network, where we are working with over a couple hundred churches every single month to advance the cause of Christ in different communities. And can we just celebrate God for doing that? One of the things we will be doing at the Center for Leadership is, if you do your own research, you will discover a lot of churches, ministries, and ministers are actually pretty under-resourced. And for those who have to shoulder the teaching load for a church, there is a weekly demand and grind when it comes to studying and preparation. And what we are gonna do at the new facility is we are gonna put a seminary level library in the facility, and then we're sending every pastor in the state a library card, giving them full access to all the resources, which for most, it would be hard to accumulate a collection with all the classics of commentary, but we wanna make that available to help other churches in our community. So the library is going in there, and that will also benefit the Northview School of Ministry and Leadership, which we're thrilled about. If you look at just the trends in private education, and if you look at the pipeline in terms of future leaders within the local church, if we do not start playing our part to raise up future leaders who feel called to the work of the ministry within the local church, there is going to be a deficit of qualified leaders able to steward the mantle of leadership moving forward. And so right now we are partnering with Bethel University, a wonderful school up by Fort Wayne, and we have begun our process of accreditation where we are working towards establishing the Northview College, which will be a fully accredited university that trains future ministry leaders as well as for the marketplace right here at Northview. And in addition to that, in the chapel, I do think there are two really big days in the life of a family. One would be the wedding, and two would be a funeral. And we wanted to be able to provide a space that is really focused and intentional on those two moments in the life of a family. And so throughout the weeks, the chapel will be hosting both funerals and weddings, and already it is beginning to be scheduled for those type of things. And so that's one way that we're doing it. In addition to that, as you've heard us talk about, putting out original music here at Northview. Guys, this was just this last weekend, the team recording our first album. Can we just celebrate the team? So amazing. If you're new, that second song that we sang, Wildly Faithful, that got your neighbor really swaying and, you know, functioning with maybe a rhythm or lack thereof, that is actually an original song here at Northview. And so the team is working to put that stuff out. And again, the reason why we find this important is, for me, I learned my theology through the hymns, not through scripture. That's not to reduce scripture's importance. It's just to say songs have a way of getting stuck in your head. And for me, it was those hymns that gave me the language to articulate my faith. And so what I love about what the team has been doing is they have been taking the teachings that have been taking place on the weekend and grafting those messages into the anthems that they're writing for our church. And I just think we are really blessed with some wonderful talent. Amen? So closing, rounding a corner with some of this stuff, I got a couple more announcements, and I apologize. This is where I told you at the beginning, not a good message. Paul does say this. He says, God has given me this priestly duty. Now, that's a loaded statement. He's referring to the priest's responsibility all throughout the Old Testament to facilitate offerings and sacrifices. And that is how Paul viewed his ministry. He viewed his ministry as an altar. And I think that is a great way for all of us to, you know, view a church ministry. Hey, when we show up, what is this? This isn't entertainment. This isn't a production. Church ought to be an altar where we show up surrendering all that we are to Christ. And I think that is so fitting. And in a couple weeks, 6 weeks, on December 6th through the 7th, we are going to be receiving a Heart for the House offering. This entire year, as we've gone through the Roman study, we've not talked about giving at all. In this season, God has swung open the door for all these great opportunities. And quite frankly, we still don't feel as a leadership team that God is calling us to launch a capital campaign. But we do want to say to the church, hey, would you consider praying about your participation on a special offering come December 6th and 7th? And here's one of the main reasons why I think you should pray about it is when we went through the Vision Night experience, one of the things we talked about was we have to elevate the video experience at all of our campuses. The vast majority of our church receives the messages on the weekend in their auditoriums via video. Far more people are at our locations than there are here at Carmel. And if we do not elevate the video experience, we are going to be hindered in terms of our effectiveness in doing things with excellence. And so really proud of the team. At the start of this year, we were able to budget and upgrade all the cameras here at Carmel at our broadcast location. But the next part of that is to upgrade the projector screens to LED screens in our different auditoriums. And I gotta tell you, the one thing I haven't been sharing publicly, maybe it's bashful, maybe it's a lack of faith, I don't know. But 2 years ago, we said, hey, let's get a quote for how much it would cost to upgrade all of the screens to LED screens across all of our campuses. And hold your nose, because here comes the cold water. That quote came in at $3.1 million. Which for me was super discouraging, knowing that it is important for us to do so. But here's what I'll say, just again, cannot speak higher of our team. You know, Paul makes that statement. He says, hey, I've been hindered, but I'm not quitting in my efforts. I'm going to reach Rome. And our team just did not give up in trying to figure out different solutions. And recently, we got connected with the production company that manages the tour, the nationwide tour for Dude Perfect. Wave at me if you've heard of Dude Perfect, the YouTube sensation. Those guys are awesome. And they just finished a nationwide tour. In fact, they came here to Indiana. Some of you may have went to that. And in that arena, they had a huge setup. In fact, they had so much LED paneling, it is more than twice as much as we would need as a church. And here's the amazing thing. They have agreed to sell all of it, twice as much as we would need, for $400,000, saving us $2.7 million as a church. And so why God is doing these things in this season, we don't know, but we do think, hey, it is very realistic for us as a church to knock that out. We would be able to upgrade all of our campuses in one weekend if we all just come together. So here's the thing. God knows the math. He knows what he's gonna put on your heart. He knows what he's gonna put on my heart. And if God prompts you to give, give. And if you feel pressured or manipulated or guilted to give, do us all a favor and put your wallet back in your pocket. We're not that kind of church. This is for people who are thrilled about what God is doing here and they want to invest into it. And Our prayer is that you just find yourself at a church, if not Northview, where you feel you can live in freedom and participate in the generous life that God has called you to live. And so lastly, the other thing we talked about was the new brand, same church, new visual identity, simply because over the years, one, we've been using the AmeriFunds logo, and so we look like a financial institution, but it has just been adapted and inconsistent across the board. And so as a team recognizing, hey, one thing that would help us be more effective is to be consistent in our branding so we can reach our different communities. So here is the new brand, a new logo, which anytime it comes to preferences and styles, there's always different opinions. Just look around at how different all of us are dressed. But we all looked in the mirror this morning and thought, this looks pretty good. And so we hold these things lightly, but I am proud of the team. And let me explain this really quick and we'll move through it. Really the icon is probably the thing that got the most attention. This emblem here is twofold. One, if you think of going to an arena, what do you see hanging in the rafters? Championship banners. And one of the things that we talked about as a team, everyone participating, was we do want to be a church where people experience victory in Christ. And we want to be a church where people live marked by the triumph of the cross every single day. And so part of it is that victory banner. But two, we also want to be a church that highly and unapologetically esteems the word of God, that we take our faith serious and we are students of God's word. And so it is both a banner and a bookmark. And there was a ton of debate because at one point the N looked too much like the Noblesville High School N, and there's a bunch of haters for that. So it's the N and the V, everything moving in the same direction. But you will see a lot of different variations of this. One of the things that we wanted to do was to have something with a little bit more versatility that it would work professionally, but it also work across the board in terms of next generation, the colleges, the sports, and so forth. And so here's logo. Here's some different ways that you'll see that kind of being played out. And then there's all kinds of different things. Some of you will remember I did a message talking about we live by faith, not by sight. And I talked about how the rhino can actually run pretty fast, but it can't see well at all. It's just blind, but it just has this confidence that whatever I come in contact with, I'm just going to run through it. And sometimes faith is that. It's, I understand greater is he that lives within me than he that's within the world. And so we're going to do fun stuff with that for the kids. But this is some of the new brand. And then on your way out today, every single one of you will receive a car decal. I always ask people, hey, how'd you hear of Northview? And they're like, I was at a stoplight and the car in front of me had a sticker on its back window. All we ask are two things. One, you drive well and you don't flip anybody off, right? Just no flipping people off. And then next weekend, everyone in attendance, we'd invite you back. Next weekend, everyone in attendance will receive a free t-shirt with the new brand on it. So you can represent your church out in the community. But again, so much information. How about you stand to your feet and pray with me? Folks, it's a fun season. God's doing cool things. We can't predict his timing. We just get to determine our participation. Amen. God, we're thankful for all that you're doing in our lives. God, we're thankful for the moments where we have so much to share, we can't fit it all in. But God, we just stand ready to see what you're going to do next. And Lord, would you prompt us, equip us, and ready us for the task at hand. Would you fill us with courage to go after you and to proclaim the gospel to anyone and everyone, knowing that the good news of the gospel is still and will forever be a powerful message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Church, enjoy your weekend.